Matthew chapter 11 and then Galatians chapter number 6. I want to preach on this subject, help for the heavy laden, help for the heavy laden. Matthew chapter number 11 and then Galatians chapter number 6. And I got this on now. I think I'm good. Are we good there? Maybe. Is it coming? Testing. 1, 2, 3. We're good. We're good? We're not good. I'll be right here either way, so it's fine. Matthew chapter 11, Galatians chapter number 6. I think one of those girls, three girls, broke a microphone. I'm not sure. But I think you're going to be astounded when you think about the message of that song. How many times does the preacher do that? And as he's preparing to bring a message, the Lord has moved in the heart of the people singing the song. And I'm thinking, you know what? Jesus, I hope by the time we get done this morning, everybody will have heard from song and sermon that they can trust Jesus. And you know what? He takes care of us. He'll take care of you. Help for the heavy laden. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. We'll go to Galatians chapter 6 first. Let me read that first. And that's where we'll begin the introduction to the message. And then we'll be preaching the majority of the message out of Matthew chapter 11. So Galatians chapter 6. Let's read the first 5 verses. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And then we go to Matthew chapter 11. Again, save the place, both places. We'll be going back and forth just a bit. Matthew 11, look at the last 3 verses, the closing 3 verses of Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden. There's the term, heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Help for the heavy laden. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that even though we're going to establish this, Bible preaches it, teaches it, so we're going to believe it. We know it. But even though there are burdens in life, Lord, thank you that there's help. Thank you that you're there. Thank you that we have instruction as far as what to do and where to go when we reach that point of being heavy laden. And Lord, I don't doubt in a congregation this size, there's some folks that walked in the door and they're in this state this morning. Lord, not of their own choosing and not because of things that they would wish for or want. It's just the facts of their life. It's where they're at right now. And Lord, I want to give them some help. And as we heard in the song, the best way any person can help another is to point them to Jesus. Thank you that you're always there. And Lord Jesus, I pray, dear God, that because of the message this morning, someone will get help. And Lord, you'll receive the glory and honor due your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So if you will, mark the place in Matthew. Let's go back and look at these verses in Galatians. There's 4 things that we learn. This is kind of our introductory outline. 4 things that we learn right away as we go to Galatians chapter 6. And so let me read these 4 things. Number 1, burdens are a part of life. Burdens are a part of life. Just write it down, mark it down. The Bible says this in verse 5, every man shall bear his own burden. Now there's no follow up, there's no parentheses that says that is for those of you who might have one occasionally. No, burdens are a part of life. Number 2, you are commanded to bear your own burdens. And folks, I think a lot of times what we're wanting to do is figure out a way to offload our burdens. And sometimes God does bring a burden upon us for a while, and it has a time limit on it. It's going to be something we need to carry for a certain amount of time, and then that burden is lifted away. And we can all look back and see, and aren't you glad that that's what God does most of the time? If not, boy, we imagine if you had to carry every burden, still be carrying every burden that you ever carried. I don't know if we could do that. Aren't you glad God knows, you know what our load limit is? And so burdens are a part of life. Number two, you are commanded to bear your own burdens. Now that means I'm not looking for somebody else to hand it off to. I can't duck out of it. I can't dive out of it. If it's mine to carry, Lord, then give me the strength to carry it. And so we are commanded to bear your own burdens. Again, verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Number 3, now here's something else. Watch this. You're also commanded to bear one another's burdens. Matter of fact, the Bible says this. Let's read that verse. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. Watch this. And so fulfill the law of Christ. And so not only am I to bear my burdens, but I'm also to be looking for opportunities where I can help somebody bear their burdens. Now, again, it's their burden to bear, and so I'm not to take it from them. But come on, how many times in your life have you been carrying burdens, but you look across and you see someone who's carrying a heavy burden, maybe an extra tough time in their life. So what do? You can't get rid of your burdens. So what you do is you just go over and you kind of put a little bit of your shoulder under part of their burden. And for a while, you walk beside them and you lift some of that off. You can't take it. Maybe you can't take it from them, but you know what? You can help them with it for a while. And so we look for opportunities to not only bear our burdens. Boy, this is a good prayer. Lord, give me the strength to bear my own burdens, but also additional strength when needed to help somebody else that's just going through a tough time. So burdens are a part of life. You're commanded to bear your own burdens. Number 3, you're also commanded to bear one another's burdens. Number 4, watch this. As we labor to obey these two commandments, here's the problem. It is easy to become heavy laden, heavy laden. Preacher, I'm going through an exceptional tough time. Seems like there's some added burdens in this phase of life, this stretch of life right now, what I'm going through. But not only that, it just seems like that the people around me that a lot of times as part of my support system is also burdened. And so I'm trying to carry my burdens. I'm trying to help this person and help this burden. I'm trying to lift the burdens of some folks around me. But I'll be honest with you, preacher. Can I just say it out loud? I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm wore down. I don't know how much longer I can continue this. Preacher, what do you do if you get to the point where you are heavy laden? And by the way, preacher, what does that mean? Well, let's flip over to Matthew chapter number 11 now. Jesus certainly coined this phrase, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So I'm working at it, preacher. I haven't quit. I haven't given up. I haven't thrown it up my hands. I'm not down in a fetal position. I'm trying. I'm putting a foot in front of the other. But preacher, it's getting harder. And things are getting heavier. And I think we're going to catch a break, and it seems like something else lands on my back or somebody else's back. And I'm trying to do this thing called life right now. And it's hard right now. It's just hard right now. Preacher, what does the Bible mean when it says heavy laden? What's the definition of that? Well, as a shipmaster may watch the hold of his ship being filled with supplies. I mean, here is a ship that's setting up light on the water because it's empty. It hasn't been loaded for the trip it's about to take across the ocean, but here comes all of the helpers, here comes all the workers, and all of these weights, all of these burdens, all of these things that need to be carried from point A to point B are being loaded onto the hold of the ship, down into the hold of the ship, and a shipmaster will oftentimes stand on the dock and just watch the ship. He's watching the balance of the ship because we get too much on one side, we're tilting a little, get too much on the other side, but the more burdens that are put on the ship, the lower that ship will sink, set down into the water. So the ship is going down and the water level is going up. And the wise shipmaster knows that there's a certain place, a certain point where we need to stop. We can't put anything else on there. It's got to be put on properly. There can't be too much in the back. There's got to be enough, same amount in the front. And there can't be left or right. It's got to be loaded right. And I've got to watch because there's that breaking point where it would be dangerous. It'd be dangerous for us to try to navigate the ocean because there's storms, there's waves out there. Where is that breaking point? That's what it's talking about. Heavy laden is when a ship is just at that point where you shouldn't put on one more thing. It's the owner of a beast of burden. And by the way, it's time to load that mule. It's time to load that burrow. And so, by the way, they're strong and they can carry a lot. And so they stack things on one side, and they stack things on the other side, and they keep stacking things. But they know that animal. They've owned that animal. They know the limitations. By the way, it's created to carry burdens, so it's okay. Let it carry some burdens. But it can get heavy laden. It can get overburdened. You don't want to kill the beast of burden while you're trying to get the burdens carried from point A to point B. You don't want it to fall. You don't want it to stumble. You don't want to have to put it down. And so the owner, once again, is watching. Where's the limit? Where's the stopping point? Where is it where I just need to say we'll have to come back for another load? He's talking about a pickup truck. Now we'll get down to where we can understand some things, okay? And you come down here to the gravel yard, you know, and you want to haul some rock. And so, you know, you bring your pickup truck and the guy gets the front loader and he gets a big bucket full of gravel or rock. And you bring it, he comes over the side of your truck, you know, and he starts tilting that thing down. And if you're the owner of that truck, he gets it down where he's not dropping it too far. You don't want to, but he's getting it down close enough. Hopefully he doesn't dent the bed of your truck. We get some testimonies on that. But you know what? He starts tilting that bucket. And you know what you're doing? You're standing at the side of the truck and you're watching the suspension. You're watching the frame. You're watching the clearance between the tire and the fender well. And how much more? How much more? How much more should we? And the guy's looking at you. He's going to keep dumping it until you say, that's it. He's looking at you. You're looking at the truck. When are you going to call it? When is it enough? Talking about being heavy laden, you get that truck filled to the place where, you know what, I shouldn't put anything else on it. I'm going to have to go really slow just to get this from point A to point B. It's the man who carries a backpack. You know what, like we've packed meat off the mountain out in Montana. You know what, you don't want to have to make that extra trip. Trust me, you want to take off as much as you can take off. But you know what, you get that backpack and you fill it up and you fill it up and you fill it up. And you understand as you're watching that, okay, where's the breaking point? Where is the point where I can still walk down the mountain where I don't end up stumbling, falling, hurting myself, where I don't have to stop and quit and offload something? Where is that breaking point? Folks, listen to me. Aren't you glad that there's a master that owns the ship? Aren't you glad that there's an owner that cares for the burden of the beast of burden? Aren't you glad that there's somebody that holds the title to the pickup truck? You know? Aren't you glad there's somebody that sometimes will put you on the shoulder and say, I think you put enough in there. You know, you better stop. There's a long trip ahead. You better stop. That's enough. Say, preacher, I kind of feel like I'm at that max point in my life. Or I'm all right now, but Lord, you know, down the road, pastor, when I get to that, these times of life, and I'm heavy laden, and honestly, it just seems like I'm kind of dreading each and every day. I'm not excited about it anymore. When the alarm goes off, it's just like there's a sense of dread. When I go to bed at night, it's like I'm not excited about tomorrow anymore. It's just like what do I do, preacher? Just feels like life's put a lot on me right now. Well, I think everybody in here, I think there's a quietness right now on purpose because we've all been at that point. I've been at that point where I'm thinking, are you sure, Lord? Are you sure? I mean, one more thing right now. Are you sure? And folks, I'm going to tell you this. Thank you, girls, again for the song. Jesus loves you. He's got his eye on everything. He will care for you. He will watch over you. But you're going to get to those points. You're going to get to those parts of your life. You're going to get to those stretches. What do you do? Preacher, what do you do? Help for the heavy laden. Number one, come to Jesus. Look at verse 28. Very first three words will help you a whole bunch. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think I'm going to apply this two ways. If you're unsaved today, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You'd be surprised how much easier life is just having Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'd be surprised how much easier life is just knowing when you go to bed at night that no matter how bad tomorrow is, you don't have to walk it alone. But you know what? Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your sins have been forgiven. One of the things you can say, preacher, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to get through the end of this week, but I can tell you this. Worst case scenario, and I'm not here a week from now, I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be with my Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. So come to Jesus. For those of you that need it today come to Jesus through salvation. But also, can I say this to some Christians that may need to hear it? And there's times in my life I needed a preacher to say this, so I'm going to say it to you. Come back to Jesus through confession. Come to Jesus through salvation, but come back to Jesus through confession. Sometimes the help that we need is there. We know Jesus is Savior, but we've distanced ourselves from the Lord. And folks, listen to me, for a Christian to wander away from the Lord. Now, you can't lose your salvation. You're going to be as saved as you ever were, but you can get backslidden away. And when you get away from the Lord, everything is harder. Every burden's heavier. And the help that you need, you've separated yourself from it. And so, can I say this? Come to Jesus. Well, that's it. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. And so, number one, come to Jesus. Number two, rest, but do not quit. Rest, but do not quit. When you come unto Jesus, I love this. The first thing he says is this, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there's something about getting saved that all of a sudden, I don't know how to say it, but when Christ comes in, he brings peace, and peace enables you to get rest. When you're away from the Lord and things aren't right and you get back right with the Lord and close with the Lord, there's just a peace. And I don't know how to explain it. If you've done it, if you've been there, you understand it. All of a sudden, it's just like you can take a breath. Yeah, the problems of life haven't all gone away and the burdens aren't all gone. But to have that relationship right with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a lot of the hindrances, I think, that compound a bad situation. And so rest. You know, I tell the story when the first time I went up to Montana and I worked all summer and thought I'd got myself in pretty good shape and went out there pretty confident I'd be able to hike through the mountains and do well. The one thing that I couldn't account for is the elevation change, how thin the air is up in those mountains. And so, you know what, I got up in those mountains and I was hiking up the mountain. I did a lot of walking, jogging, running, get myself in shape here, but I'm doing it all on flat ground in Indiana. And all of a sudden I go to Montana and I'm trying to climb up those mountains. And brother, I'm telling you, I'd get up about 30, 40 steps up, and I'm talking about when we're going steep, okay? And I'd do about 30, 40 steps, and all of a sudden I couldn't find any oxygen, and I keep pushing myself, and I'm trying to keep up with the other guys. I mean, they're born out there. They don't think anything about it. And then I finally just get to my of exhaustion. I mean, I can't take another step. And I'd stop. And I'm panting. I'm trying to get my breath. And I mean, it takes me about 4 or 5 minutes to recoup. And my good Montana friends, they act like all of a sudden they're interested in the scenery, you know, and they're looking around. Really just waiting on the sissy boy to catch his breath, you know, but they're looking all around. And finally, Brother Dirksen, you know, in his kind, patient way, he said, Pastor Ross, he said, if you get to the point where you start to get short of breath, he said, don't keep pushing until you can't breathe at all. This is good advice. Let me help all of you, okay? When you get to the point where you're starting to run out of breath, don't keep pushing till you are completely out of breath, he said. When you start having a little bit of trouble breathing, he said, you could stop. It'll take you 30 seconds and rest. Catch your breath a little bit and then keep climbing. He said, try this formula. He said, do 30 steps and then stop. Before you get completely out of gas, and then just rest for about 30 seconds and then take another 30 steps, 30, 40 steps, whatever you feel like you can do. He said, you get up there a little bit later than us, we're all going to get to the same top of the same mountain. Now, folks, listen to me. Sometimes, you know what? You're climbing a mountain you never climbed before. Preacher, I'm facing circumstances I've never faced before. I thought I trained for this, but I couldn't train for this. There's some things that God's going to ask of you you can't train for. Some circumstances that are going to change that it's just different than anything you've ever done. And you know what? All of a sudden you feel heavy laden. What do you do? Number one, come unto me. Go to Jesus. Number two, listen to me. Don't quit. Look right up here, Christians. It's not time to quit church. Not time to quit serving the Lord. Come on. Not time to quit reading your Bible. Not time to quit praying because you're going through a tough time. But it is time to understand that God understands that all of us have limitations. And so you know what? Push. but don't push to the point of exhaustion. Some of you, you know what? You're in a little bit better shape for whatever you're facing than someone else is. So what? Don't try to keep up with them. Do what you can do. Okay? But when you start getting a little out of breath, stop. Catch your breath and then take off again. And then you know what? Stop. Well, they're going to beat me. Life's not a race. Life's not a race. Okay? You know what? Let them go on ahead. Okay? You're going to get there. You're going to get there. Don't worry about it. One foot in front of the other. Rest, but do not quit. Now, number three is going to sound like a crazy suggestion, okay? So Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then he says, now, you rested up a little? Yeah, I think I can go. I think I can go a little bit. All right, here. Here's my yoke. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Lord, I came to you because I was heavy laden. I came to you because I have all these burdens. I mean, you don't know what a yoke looks like, folks. I'm talking about in Jesus' day, a wooden yoke that you would use to take the strength of two animals and be able to put them in. He says, here's my yoke. You need to put your head into this yoke. I'll hold it for you. Stick your head in it. Well, that weighs a lot. And yeah, I know, but trust me. But Lord, I'm already overburdened. Trust me. Take my yoke upon you. Now, folks, if you think about it, at first that doesn't make sense. But remember, that's not a yoke built for one. That's a yoke built for two. So if you think it through, it's going to be to your advantage. But at first, let me say this to new Christians. Sometimes it doesn't make sense what the preacher's preaching. Preacher, I don't have enough time. I mean, if I sat down with you at our kitchen table and tried to show you our schedule and the kids' schedule and my wife's schedule, and I mean, we are running on fumes all the time and we can't get done what we need to get done. And now you want me to come to church three times a week? And I'm like, take on the yoke. Take on, but that don't make any sense. I know it doesn't yet, but it will. Take on the yoke. Preacher, I'm not getting enough sleep at night. And it seems like I don't have enough rest. And then you tell me to get up 20 minutes earlier every morning so I can have time to read my Bible and pray. I'm already exhausted. Take on the yoke. I know it doesn't seem like it makes sense at first, but listen, that yoke's not built for one. It's built for two. Hang in there. There's a next step, but you got to accept the yoke. I don't have enough money, preacher. We're behind on our bills. It seems like we struggle all the time and we can't catch up. And then I get saved. You get up, start teaching on tithing. Are you serious? Take the yoke. I know, come on. Veteran Christians are out there. They're smiling, shaking their head. Remember when you were a new Christian, though? And it was like, serious? Are you kidding me? I thought this whole Christianity thing was to make life easier. And every time I come here, you got another yoke in your message, you know? All right. I know it don't make sense right now, but wait a minute. That yoke's not built for one. It's built for two. There's a reason. There's a purpose. Preacher, I don't have enough strength, and now you're telling me to schedule time to go out visiting or soul winning each week? Like, listen, why the yoke? Why the yoke? Because this isn't just any yoke. Jesus doesn't say, take a yoke upon you. He says, take my yoke upon you. And you know what? When Jesus offers you a yoke, he's got a purpose for it, which leads us to number four. Ask Jesus then to join you in the yoke. Now, here's where it really begins making sense. Because see, folks, when you think about a yoke and you think about the strength of one beast of burden, and then the combined strength of two beasts of burden, the yoke makes sense. When you put it on the first beast, it probably doesn't make sense. But when you bring in that second beast of burden and you put them together, and all of a sudden, the one was trying to pull the load by himself, and it was exhausting, but all of a sudden now the two strengths are working together, and the burden, the heavy burden, all of a sudden doesn't seem as heavy as it once was. And that's what Jesus does, folks. That's what he's offering to each and every one of you that are heavy laden today. He's saying, I know it may seem like I'm asking more than you can do, but I'm doing it on purpose. You know why? Because I'm asking more than you can do. You know why? Because I want to be in that yoke with you. I don't want you to be able to handle everything by yourself, or you would always want to handle everything by yourself. Yes, and you kind of leave me out of it. And so, yeah, sometimes I'm gonna allow you to become heavy laden. But I also gave you a formula for what to do when that happens. Ask Jesus to join you in the yoke. Say, preacher, what's the advantages? Jesus joins you in the yoke. You've got someone to help you carry your burden. By the way, it's not another human being that has the same frailties and lack of strength that you do. This is Jesus. When Jesus slips in the yoke with you, all of a sudden, suddenly you're no longer trying to carry the burden alone. You have somebody with you. Your strength is limited, but Christ's strength is limitless. You're not just trying to carry it alone. You've got somebody that will help you. Well, our Christian school started. They're into their end of their third week, you know, and some of the new students are learning what a flag is and what you're supposed to do with a flag. Some of our students that have been there a while in our ACE school, we don't have the kids stand there with their hand up or sit there with their hand up on their desk when they need help. They got a little American flag and they got a little hole in the divider and they stick the flag in there, and that way they can stay busy doing something else till the teacher comes. You know why a kid puts that flag up? Because he is heavy laden. I mean, 8 parts of speech. Are you kidding me? Why 8? Why couldn't there be 2? Why not 2 parts of speech? Okay, why is there X? Why is there letters in this mathematical formula? This makes no sense. This is ridiculous. And so they just get to the point where they're heavy laden. Now, this is what a lot of the students want to do. They want to put the flag up. They want to take their pace, and they want to say to Brother Young, here, Brother Young, would you please do this for me? And I'll just read a Hardy Boys book or something while you're doing my algebra, and you bring it. Hey, God's not going to do that. Look right up here. God's not going to do it. You know why? It's your burden. Right. Young people, listen to me. It really is wrong to always trying to look for somebody else to take your burden away from you. Right. Yes. We've got a society that doesn't want to have to carry anything. Won't have to do anything. Won't have to face anything hard. Then you'll never be anything. You know, the burdens of life is what puts the things in you that make you what you are, and how God formed you and how he strengthens you and how he gets you ready for the next task and a taller mountain and a bigger responsibility. And so the teacher, what he does is he comes or she comes over and she says, take my yoke upon you. And what she does, or what he does, if you think about it, is for a few minutes, you know what? They join in the yoke with you. I've just taken this as far as I can take it, and I'm just stuck. I'm stopped. It's too much for me. And as a teacher, I would come in, and I'd literally join them in the yoke. And I'd help them get the thing started again. Listen, watch this. I'm not going to give them enough help so that they don't have to put some effort in. But I'm going to give them enough help to get the thing moving again and get them to the point, whatever the obstacle is, whatever they're stuck on, let's work past that. And a lot of times a student will need me for a while, and then they'll get past that. And next thing they know, I'd say, now the next thing, I got it from here, I got it from here, I got it from here. And you know what? I slip out of the yoke, and I'll go yoke up with somebody else. By the way, I want you parents to think about this. God's blessed you with children. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Yes. There's no way someone can teach your child absent a yoke. There's no way someone can teach your child absent a yoke. Who's yoking up with your children every day in school? We need to stand in judgment of the people that we are allowing to yoke up with our children. Because you're going to answer to God for the people that you let have influence in your children. And there are teachers that are not, I'm going to say it, you need to hear it. There are teachers that are not interested in educating our children. They're interested in indoctrinating our children with humanistic, anti-God, anti-Christ philosophies. You know what? They're not yoking up with my kids. Decision me and my wife made a long time ago, we're not letting them yoke up with our kids. Nope. That's one of the reasons we have a Christian school here. Amen. All right, so I asked Jesus to join you in the yoke. Now you have someone to help you carry the burden. And you know what?
That's what we. That's what Jesus does. The same thing. Lord, I don't have an answer. I don't know what to do here. I'm not sure what the next step is. I'm just stuck. He says, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. Let me slip in beside you. You don't have to do this by yourself. You don't have to do this in your own strength. I'll get you started. Number two, you now have someone to fellowship with as you carry your burden. Now, I love that. It says, not only take my yoke upon you, but it says this, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and learn of me. And so he said, I'm not just here to get in the yoke with you to help you bear the burden. I'm here to get in the yoke with you so we can talk. You know, folks, one of the things that's just true in life, I was thinking about a story. And Eric Nicholas used to live catty corner from me. We had to ccross the fields, a couple properties to get from our house to where the Nicholases lived. And we'd always want to go squirrel hunting together. And so we'd meet halfway up. And I was supposed to meet him at a certain time so we could go squirrel hunting that evening. And I didn't show up. You know why? My mom decided it wasn't God's will for me to go. You know why? Because she had a 5-gallon bucket of green beans that needed to be broken. And so he finally wanders all the way over to the house and he kind of walks up on the backyard. And I'm sitting in a chair and I've got this 5 gallons. He said, well, I thought we were going squirrel hunting. I thought we were too. But you know what? Look at me. I'm heavy laden. Yeah. Heavy laden. And, Eric sat there and he looked around and he said, well, man, we need to get out there. And I said, I can't go, Eric. You're going to have to go by yourself. And he said, oh, he grabbed a chair and sat down beside me. And next thing you know, we're just breaking beans. Now, before I was sitting pouting, I was going, boom. When I grow up, we're never having a garden. We're never canning beans. You know, come on, kids, come on. But all of a sudden, the entire dynamic changed. And you know how boys are. It's kind of like when two of you are doing it together. Now it's competition, you know, man. He's grabbing two at a time and lining them up, snapping the tops off. So I got to try to do three, you know. And all of a sudden, and we're talking. And we're talking about guns. We're talking about going hunting. We're talking about, you know, which way we should come in the woods this time. And you know what? It just seemed like a couple minutes. And I looked down, and those beans were all broke. I ran over, handed them to Mom. I said, can I go hunting? Yeah, you go hunting. As long as you got it done, you go hunting. Man, we took off running. What made the difference? Come on, what made the difference? Preacher, I'm just sitting at home feeling sorry for myself because nobody's called today to ask how I'm doing. Nobody's checked up on me. Preacher don't love me. Deacons hate me. You know what? Can I recommend somebody that you can count on to always be there in your life? His name is Jesus. And you know what, folks? It's not just that he comes alongside you with his strength, but he comes alongside you with fellowship. And next thing you know, come on, you think about that. All right, we have three ladies that clean the church here. I could tell you cleaning lady stories if you want to hear cleaning lady stories, okay? We got time for those? I think we got time for those, you know? We call them the cleaning gals, cleaning ladies come in. I personally never seen them clean. I'm in here a lot. I come in, I go in, put the letters up. And every time I see them, they're in the foyer or they're downstairs. Or Lauren's in our new little go-kart back there racing around with a little dust thing, dusting, you know, and all of this. And you know what? I'll be in the back and I'll listen to them hooting and laughing and carrying on. And you know what? I come out here. It's always clean, Miss Dawn. You guys do a great. I don't know when it happens. I don't know how it happens. They get it done. But I will tell you this, if you asked any of them, if you had to come in and do it by yourself, you know what? There'd be a certain dread to it. Are you thinking about this? There'd be a certain dread to it. It'd be like, you know what you'd look at? All you'd see, all you'd focus on is the burdens, the tasks, the labor, the job. But it's something that how much quicker things can get done and how much more fun it is and how all of a sudden you look up and, oh my goodness sakes, we're done. Listen, that's what God is waiting to do in your life. You know, my heart breaks. I watch people in the world that don't know Jesus as their Savior. And you know what, folks? They carry the same burdens I do, or some of them are carrying more, and they're trying to do it without the strength of God and without the fellowship of God. No wonder people are on antidepressants. Come on, no wonder so many people are crashing and burning. No wonder so many people are giving up. Come on, no wonder. Watch this. Suicide's out of control in America right now. You know why? Because they're just trying to do something by themselves that God never intended them to do. And so you have someone to help you carry the burden. You have someone to fellowship with as you carry the burdens. Number three, now you have someone to teach you how to carry a burden. Right. Think about this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart. One of the things that Christ teaches us as he's helping us to bear burdens, as he's in the yoke with us, he teaches us how to have the right attitude while we're facing burdens. The wrong attitudes, boy, we're good at that, aren't we? I can go into, this is not fair, real quick. I can get there, come on, I can get there at the speed of light. Something, all of a sudden a burden, something I didn't come, oh, come on. This isn't fair. Listen, you know what? Jesus never took a burden that his Father gave him and looked up and said, this isn't fair. You ever heard somebody say, come on, I'm going to say something. All right. We need to hear it. You ever heard somebody say, or you have you ever been tempted to say this? Well, why me? Well, why me? Why me? I think God looks down and says, why not you? You think everybody else in the whole world ought to have to carry something heavy, but you just get this free ride where you're just supposed to be, you know, magic. You're just supposed to be golden. You're just never required to face or do anything. Why not you? I mean, I want to say to sometimes, well, who would you wish it on instead of you? Well, are we kind of selfish? Hey, if it's my burden, come on, it wouldn't have come if the Lord hadn't allowed it. Wouldn't be there, didn't have a purpose, and there's something God wants to teach me. So let's not go to, it's not fair. And then we go, after not fair, it's poor me. Well, I can get there quick too, poor me. You know, I mean, come on, this week I sent out invitations to my pity party for turning 60. And many of you young, I want to say something about the young people, the teenagers of this church. Well, I want to, first of all, let me direct my comments this direction, first of all, okay? You young ladies that wrote cards and put them on my door, you girls are wonderful. You are wonderful. Sweet, encouraging. I mean, every one of them. And then I got guys that filled out cards and wishing me a 70th birthday. All kinds of comments about how old and decrepit and broken down and sickly I look. And I mean, what is with that? Okay. I'm carrying a heavy enough of a burden. All right. Yeah. I got a bunch of Job's friends up here trying to help me get through my 60th birthday. So come on. I can get to poor me. I can get to I quit. Come on. I can get to too hard. This is too hard. Well, that's too hard. That's too hard. Let me tell you what makes something that's hard, harder. Standing around saying it's too hard, it's too hard, it's too hard. Okay, that's all of our natural responses when we're asked to do something that honestly is tough. It is tough. But wait a minute. When Christ gets in there with you, it's not just, folks, the fellowship. It's that you learn from him. Come on, that's why I say read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Jesus was a man that was not a stranger to burdens and carrying burdens in life. And you know what? He bore the burden of all of our sins on Calvary's cross. But you know what he did? He also went around doing good, lifting burdens while people tried to heap burdens upon him. Burdens of mistrust and persecution and questioning and cursing and blaspheming and lies and false accusations. And you know what he did? He just went around and you know what? He just continued. Listen. It's almost like Jesus said, no matter what they do, they're not going to stop me from being a blessing to somebody today. And I want to get there. I'm not saying I'm always there, but I want to get there. I want to say, God, no matter what you have for Jerry Ross to carry, Lord, just give me that extra little strength that will help me to carry somebody else and help somebody else and be a blessing to somebody else. I want the strength to bear my burdens, but Lord, I don't want just that strength. Give me the enough extra to be a help to somebody today. And where do you learn that? Jesus. You learn it from Jesus. Now you have someone who can make the labor easy and the burden light. So you ask Jesus to join in the yoke. Why? Because he can help carry your burden. You got the fellowship. You've got someone to learn how to carry a burden. And then all of a sudden, you have somebody that can make the labor easy and the burden light. It's amazing, the burden that seems so heavy when you get in the yoke with Jesus Christ is all of a sudden lighter. Has the burden changed? No, it's still there. Has it diminished? Is anything been taken away? Nope, all still there. But yet it's lighter because Jesus is here. You know what? It's amazing what happens when you just accept the yoke. You know what? Why is the burden lighter? Because you now know. You now have access to the unlimited strength of Jesus Christ. Why is the burden lighter? Because you have someone to fellowship with. Why is it lighter? You have someone to teach you grace and humility and courage and personal responsibility. You have someone to set the pace. You have someone to learn from. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I want to finish with another redneck illustration. I had a friend of mine, he called me this week and he was laughing. He said, I got to tell you a story about my boy. He said, he's only 12 years old, but he's always begging me to let him drive the truck around the farm. He can't drive it on the road, but he's always wanting, you know, you get 12, 13, you want to go drive something, you know. And so I gave him my truck and he's been allowed to go to the barn and back and go to a few places on the property, not on the road, but on the property. And just, and you know, he got out there hot dogging a little bit. Yeah, where's those Morris boys at? Hot dogging a little bit. Where's Asa at? Hot dogging a little bit. And he got it stuck in the ditch. And kind of in a little creek bottom, creek bed. He had the front wheels out of the creek bed and bottom wheels out. And he got it in the mud. He comes up, mud all over him. He's got that look like, oh, man, I'm dead, you know. And he said, I said, what happened? He said, oh, I got off the road. I got off the road, okay? Everybody knows what that means. I got off the road. And so he said, I say, all right, let's go. And he'd only been allowed to drive a handful of times. And, you know, he taught him the basics. And he said, I said, get in. And he got in the truck. And he said, scoot over. And I got in beside, got behind the wheel. He said, I reached down on the floorboard. There's this extra gear I hadn't shown him yet. Took it from two-wheel drive to four-wheel drive. And I crept right out of that ditch. And he's like, Dad, what did you do? He said, son, this is a four-wheel drive. Well, I know that. Well, you have to turn it on. You have to move the lever. See? He said, oh. Now, I'm not sure he should have showed him that. I said, you did what? You should have told him, stay up by the barn. I'll go get it. All right. All of a sudden, that next time that he let the boy drive the truck, he said, the first thing I heard him do was grind that into four-wheel drive. You know what he discovered? A gear he didn't know he had. A gear he didn't know he had. You know what Jesus wants you to discover? There's some things that you have available to you that you've never had to use. Come on, because you've never been put in a position where you had to use it or you had to learn how to use it. And sometimes, come on, a lot of things are going on at Blessed Hope, a lot of things going on in people's personal lives. Right now, it's just kind of, what is it, preacher? It's just called life. Come on, it'll be these three families for a while, and then, you know what? That'll get lifted, and it'll be these three or four families, and it'll get lifted. And it's just, when you got a church this size, there's never a time people aren't going through. It's just what it is. Come on, be me and my wife for a while. Be you and your wife for a while. That's why can I say this? That's why we have church. One of the reasons we have church. And if the burden gets heavy, it's been nice to have some folks come alongside and say, hey, let me help you a little bit. But it's also nice to be able to come alongside people and say, hey, you need some help? But folks, listen. Even the church can only do so much. Jesus said, come unto me. And I will give you rest. Now, I want you to take this thing. Oh, Lord, what's that? It looks heavy. It's called a yoke. Just put it on. Come to church when you don't feel like it. Get up earlier and read your Bible and pray. Tithe when you're broke. Go soul winning when you don't feel like you have an extra minute to do it. There's 10,000 other things you need to get done. Just go ahead because it's on the schedule and go. And you know what you'll find out? If you'll take the yoke on you, somebody will slip into that yoke. And folks, listen. I want you to hear what I'm going to say. I wouldn't ask God to have taken one burden. I don't want to redo anything. I don't want to have dodged anything. Because anything God's ever asked me to carry has helped me to learn something else about His Son that I would have never learned if I didn't have to carry it. And so when the things get heavy, you know what? Just go to Jesus. Because, girls, you're right. He takes care of me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, with all that you had to do and all that you accomplished while you're here on earth. Thank you for just taking a few minutes and setting your disciples down and giving them a little formula, knowing that at some point they would become heavy laden. Lord, there's some of our folks need to find that gear they've never had to use before. Maybe they didn't even know it's there. They need someone in the yoke with them to kind of show them not only how to carry on when you're heavy laden, but also how to do it with a good spirit, Christian grace. Smile, yeah, I'll smile sometimes while wiping tears. That's okay. That's okay. Things are hard. Some things are just hard. Lord, I pray, dear God, that in a very real way, that you would come alongside those that just need you in an extra special way. Thank you, Lord, for the strength, not our strength, your strength, that's available to each and every one of us when we come to those times where we need help, help, because we're heavy laden. Help us this week just to take this simple formula, put it into action in our lives. In Jesus' name.